Left off, we're in the middle of Perek Gidon Osha. Andaf Tzadikei on the base, the Gemara speaks a little bit about the Pasuk in Chumash, Losa Nachashu Velosa Onenu, that the Nichush is prohibited. Nichush means whenever you do something superstitious, what's superstitious? Whatever doesn't have a good scientific explanation, whatever doesn't have a common sense explanation. So let's say the Gemara says, Bismana Gemara, the practice would be if you have a tree that doesn't grow peiros for some reason or another, so they would paint, they would put paint around the tree. What would they accomplish by putting paint? People would realize that the tree isn't growing peiros, the apples are not growing. So they'll pray on behalf of the person that it should grow. Okay, so that was the practice that they had, they instituted it. So then there's no isa nichosh, or whatever has a scientific explanation. But whatever doesn't have a scientific explanation or a logical explanation, no common sense, just for no reason at all, that's an Isra Nichosh. So the Gemara says that some of the Amaroim were not in violation of Leis Nachshu. The Gemara has in the middle of Tzadikim Beis, Rav Bodik B'Mavro, when Rav would have to travel somewhere, so he would determine whether he's going to go or not, whether the ferry was ready. So if the ferry was ready, he took it as a sinim and hashamayim. Apparently the ferry didn't go every hour on the hour, or every 2 hours on the hour. The ferry, when there were enough people, they would go. So if the ferry would be available to go, he took it as a sinim and hashamayim. He's supposed to go and give a shi there, or visit there. When the ferry would not be available, and he would have to postpone. So then he understood that Min HaShemayim there implying to him that he shouldn't go. So that he took, that's not a nichush. Why not? I'm not sure. He took it as a simen Min HaShemayim. The Gemara says, if you have a simen that recurs three times, Yankee Ravina says, Yosef Heinenev, Shimenenev, Espinyam Tikach, Olai HaYukulana. The Gemara quotes it on the wide lines, on the sixth wide line. That Yankee Avina had three tragedies occur to him. He's afraid three tragedies will occur. He's afraid to let Binyamin go. So this will be three tragedies in a row, and then his whole world will collapse. So we should take it as a Siman HaShemayim. Something repeats itself three times. Okay. So Rav, we don't fully understand. Rav would be Boidik if the Mavra, if the ferry, if the boat was ready to go, he took it as a Siman Toiv that he should go. Shmuel would be Bodik B'Sifra. He would look in a Sefer Torah. That's what they call the Gerel Agro. You look in, you open up a Sefer Torah, and the first Pasuk that you bump into, you follow that Pasuk. And then Shmuel and Rabbi Yechon would be Bodik B'Yinuka. What do you mean Bodik B'Yinuka? He would ask a child who learns Chumash. Between the age of 5 and 10, they would learn Chumash. From the age of 10 and 15, they would learn Mishnais, and they started learning Gemara, Talmud, at the age of 15. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. So he would ask a child between the age of 5 and 10, what pasuk did you learn? Psokli psukech, what pasuk did you learn in Cheder today? So based on the pasuk that he would tell him, he would take it as a simon min hashamayim. So the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam quotes from the Rishonim, why isn't this a violation of Nichush? The Gemara says it's not a violation. Why not? He says, because the Torah is supposed to guide us. So psokli psukecha, yes, good child, what did you learn today in Cheder? What pasuk did you learn? So we assume that the psukim and chumash are to guide us. And if you open up a Gerel Agro, you open up a Tanakh, so the Tanakh is supposed to guide us. You don't find in the Gemara that they used to open up Mishnayis. Maybe they didn't have Mishnayis. We usually, most Achrayim and most history books assume that the Mishnayis were not written down by Rabbi Yudan Nasi, wasn't written down till the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. Rabbeinu Rav Ashi edited the Talmud Bavli. That wasn't written down till way later in the days of the Goyim. There was a big machloikas in the days of the Goyim where they should write down the Gemara. That's why every so often you have two Lashonis in the Gemara. What did Rabbeinu say? What did Rav Ashi say? I can have two versions of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi edited the Talmud Bavli. The answer is they edited it, but it was still being recited by pen. It wasn't written down until way later, in the middle of the days of the Goyim. So maybe the Gemara never looked in the Mishnayis because they didn't have any Mishnayis, okay? But in later generations also, they never really looked in Mishnayis or Gemara. They used to look in the Tanakh. The Gerel Agro looked in Tanakh. That's why it was very questionable by Lubavitch. They look in the Igris of the Rebbe. They never looked in other Svarim. We never heard that anybody looked in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Why should they look in the Igris of the Rebbe? Anyway, that's the Gemara here. This story is quoted in the middle of the whole discussion of Basach and Salmanayin. Oh yeah, also the Gemara has there. The Gemara has there on Tzadikamid base, right above that, right before the three. Rab would be Bodik with the Teferi, with the Mavro. Shmuel would be Bodik with the Sefer Torah, and Rabbi Yechon would be Bodik be Yenuka. Sokli Psukech, and Rab. The line before that, they quote that Rab had a practice. Rab Lamasani Misudas Arshus. Rab would only eat in public if it would be a Sudas Mitzvah. He wouldn't eat the Sudas Arishus in public. So this is quoted, there's a Chubas Hagayim where they have a list of Esa Mili de Chasidusa of Rav. Rav had 10 Midas Chasidus. One was he would never walk Dalai Lamas without Torah or Tfilin. He wouldn't walk Dalai Lamas without Tfilin. We don't do that. We have a meaning not to walk Dalai Lamas without a yarmulke. But Rav had a meaning not to walk Dalai Lamas without Tfilin or without talking Divrei Torah. Or he wouldn't look chutz l'dalai lamaisav. He always had his eyes down. And a whole list of Chubas Hagayim, I think it's missing the last one. They only list off nine. From the Esamili de Chasidusa Rav, and the 10th one is missing. So there was a famous Chasidish Rebbe, the Radzina Rebbe. He's known as the Bala Trelis. He's a big Talmid Chacham. He's the one who traveled from Poland, from Radzin, to Italy because he heard that there's a big aquarium there. He wanted to be Mevar, which is the Chalozin. He wanted to hasten the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We have to show the Rebbe Shlom that we're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash. A big day kuhuna need Trelis. In Tzitzis, if you don't have Trelis, it's a Machlekes HaTanayim, where the Trelis Me'akebes is Halovim. So most of the Rishonim and Paschim, like the Chachamim, a Trelis not Me'akebes is Halovim. You have an incomplete Kiyam HaMitzvah even without the Trelis. But in Big Day Kuhuna, it seems in the Tosefta that everybody agrees that Trelis is Miakevis. If you don't have, and those Big Day Kuhuna that need Trelis, not all of them, those you have to look in Parshas Tetzave. Those Big Day Kuhuna that require Trelis, so the assumption is that everyone agrees that Trelis is Miakevis. So the Radzina Rebbe wanted to hasten the building on the Beis HaMikdash. He said, we have to show the Rebbe Shlom that we're interested. So he went to Italy to this big aquarium, and he decided that he thought that he discovered the trelis, and then they made a factory in Radzin where they processed the trelis for many years up until the war. And then Rav Herzog, before he became chief rabbi, when he went to university in Ireland, I think, so his doctoral dissertation was on trelis. And he had, as part of his work, he had to contact the people in the Trelis factory in Radzin. And he wrote up the whole story that he thought that the Radzina Rebbe was fooled and it wasn't correct. He thought that the Rebbe's Trelis was not correct. After the war, the factory was destroyed and everybody was killed who was involved in making of the Trelis, and nobody survived the war. He remembered, who knew how the Radzina Chassidim made Trelis. The only one who knew it was Rav Herzog in his dissertation. He researched it. So he told the Chassidim how they made the Trelis, but he told them at the same time he thought that the whole thing was incorrect. He thought that the Goyish chemist, the Rebbe put an advertisement in the Italian newspaper that he needs a chemist and he's prepared to pay money for advice. And he paid him Nochri and he gave him a chemical that he needed. So the Radzina Rebbe, Rav Herzog claims that the Nochri chemist fooled the Rebbe, and nothing from the fish that the Rebbe thought was the Chalozin remained behind in the Trelis. He thinks that the whole thing was a big mistake. So even though the only one who knew how to make the Trelis was Rav Herzog, and he thought the whole thing was a mistake, so the Hasidim said, Pagina di Bura. So they accepted what Rabbi Herzog said, how the factory manufactured the Trelis, and they made a factory in Eretz Yisrael for many, many years. They still, they still make trailers the way the Radzina Rebbe made the trailers. So this Radzina Rebbe, he composed Talmud Bavli on Taharis. He took all the Gemaras all over Shas and that are connected with Mishnayos and Taharis, and he put them together and he made a Talmud Bavli on Taharis, and he has his commentary on the bottom of the page. Every so often he has very lamedish things there, very insightful comments on Seder Taharis. It looks like a Gemara. So when he printed the Seder Taharis, they insisted that he should print on the top of every page something that's a dead giveaway, that it's not a real Gemara. That it really is Gemaras, but there is no such Gemara that goes Mishnah by Mishnah with a commentary. Anyway, so this Radzina Rebbe, in addition to being the Baal HaTchelus, in addition to putting out the Sidrei Taharis, Seder Taharis with the Talmud Bavli, with his commentary on the bottom page, he also put out a thin little sefer on this one Tshuvas HaGaonim. Tshuvas HaGaonim, the whole collection of Tshuvas HaGaonim. So there's one in the collection of several hundred Tshuvas HaGaonim that there was printed in Europe. You have the Esem Mili de Chasidusa Rav, that a tradition that Rav had 10 Midas Chasidus. So in the Tshuva, they only mention 9. So he tells you what the 10th one was, and he gives you all the Marmikomis for the 9. And he has a whole discussion on each one of the Mili, the Chasidus, and then he quotes from the Rishayim, the Ran, I think, at the end of the first Perek in Kiddushin. The Gemara there talks about Summa Potam in HaMitzvahs, HaMachlokes HaTanaim, whether Summa is Potam in HaMitzvahs or not. So the Gemara says that there were Amoraim who were blind. How did they become blind? So the Tshuvas HaGaonim write, they have a tradition that they wanted to follow all the 10 Midas Chasidus of Rav. And this one, they weren't able to control themselves, not to look chutz ledal ramas. So they decided, in order to observe that Midas Chasidus also, they're going to blind themselves. How are you allowed to do that? So they stared at a glaring light. If you look at the sun, I remember as a child, that's what they said. If you stare at the sun, you'll become blind. So they stared at a bulb or something, at a very bright light, and they became blind. So therefore, they were able to observe the Midas Chasidus, not to look chutz l'dalam. So you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to cause yourself to become a balmum. Very strange. But that's what it says in the Tshuvas HaGaonim. So he quotes that. So this is one of the Midas Chasidus of Rav. He would never eat in public unless it would be a Sudas Mitzvah. Sudas of Shus, he would eat at home. But he wouldn't eat in public unless it would be a Sudas Mitzvah. Yeah, what's the story with this? Yeah, Rashi over there writes, what's an example of a Sudas of Shus on Tzadikam and Beis? So Rashi quotes a Gemara in Psochim on Daf Memtes, the end of the Perek there. They had the last Daf in Elu Oivrin. Sudas HaRishus is a Bas Tamachochem Liam HaOretz. It's only considered a Sudas Mitzvah when a Tamachochem gets married. When a Amoretz gets married, it's not a Sudas Mitzvah. Very strange. What? The Mitzvah to get married is only for Tamid HaChamim. HaMehoretz have no Mitzvah to get married. Very strange. The Mestama, perhaps, I can't say Mestama, perhaps the Pshat is, every time you do a Mitzvah, you don't throw a party. I lek tefillin this morning. I put on tzitzis this morning. I daven. I said kriya shma. We do a lot of mitzvahs. We eat. We learn. So every time you learn something, you throw a party. That when we make a siyum mesichta, you throw a party. That's a major milestone of one's life when you make a siyum. But stam, every time you do a mitzvah, you don't throw a party. So just because you got married, you don't throw a party. But the Gemara says, the Ramban HaChumash quotes the Mechilta, commenting on the pasuk Vayechzo Sodakim by Yochlo by Yishtu by Maimon HaSinai. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai by Vayechzo Sodakim, there was a Gilish Chinah by Yochlo by Yishtu. So Rashi quotes a Medrash by Yochlo by Yishtu. They were nibbling popcorn and cracker jacks like you do in the movies. So they were doing that during Maimon HaSinai. So that was scandalous. They weren't paying attention to the proclamation of the Aseres Adibris. The whole world was shaking when the Rabban Shalom proclaimed the Aseres Adibris, and the Jews, Atzilei B'nai Yisrael, are snacking. They're having candy bars in the middle. So they were punished for that later. By Yochel Eishu, they were punished. The Ramban HaChumash on that same post, it quotes a different medrash that says that they did the right thing. It's not ligrius. It's not that they did something incorrect. Mikan, from this pasuk, you derive shows masuda the gemara shel Torah. From this pasuk, you derive that you make a party when you make a siyum asichta. Why? That's considered a milestone of one's life. Let's say a couple is married for 50 years or something like that, 75 years. That's a milestone in one's life. Person graduates college, person gets smicha. So that's a cause to celebrate. So on the occasion of Maimon Hasina, the Kovet Kabbalah Satora, they made a Suda, just like they make a Suda, Vayechse Salkim Vayochle Vayishtu, they made a Suda, the Kovet Kabbalah Satora, Maimon Hasinai. And every year on Shavuos, the Gemara says, on Pesach and on Sukkot, there's a Machlokes, Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, how one is supposed to celebrate. Because the Gemara says, Mselchim and Mbeitza, there seems to be an apparent contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, Atzeres Lashem Alakecha, to dedicate the whole day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should have shiurim all day long, and daven barichas, but chazonim, and choirs, and so on. The other pasuk says, Atzeres Tialachem, you should eat and drink and be merry. So it's Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim says, and there is no Kasav HaShlishi, so what is the midrash that turned it reshes bam? How do you deal with such a case when you have shnei ksuvim amakrishim and there is no kosel ashlishi shechriya? So Rab Lezer Hagodl, Rab Lezer Ben Hurkin is of the opinion when you have shnei ksuvim amakrishim, it means that it's optional either A or B. Either you should dedicate the whole day to learning, you have brief meals bekitza, or you dedicate the whole day to eating and drinking and making merry. You have to daven shachris mincha ma'ariv, but you do it b'kitzur. And Rabbi Shua disagrees, and he says, no, whenever you have shnei ksuvim amakrishim zeh, even though there is no kosev ashlishi shiachriya, we should be machriya on our own. So that's what Rabbi Shua says, chalkei uchetz l'ashem, uchetz yelachem. You should divide the day in half, and the Rambam gives you the program. He has it both in Hilchos Shabbos and in Hilchos Yontif. He says, kachu adas, this is the way you have to do. He says, you daven ma'ariv, and then you eat the first sudi. You daven shachris and musaf, you eat the second sudi. You daven mincha, and you eat shalosh udas. The Rama gives you the program. Lashem, lachem, 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 lachem. You have to alternate back and forth, back and forth. Chetzi lachem, chetzi lachem. First to do the chetzi lachem, and then to do the chetzi lachem. The similar machloikis, this is the machloikis of Lezer Reb Yeshua by Atzeres lachem alakech and Atzeres tilachem. Similarly, the Gemara has in Brochus, where is it? I think on Lamed Hey Amid Beis, and Machlekes HaTanoim, how do you deal with the apparent contradiction between the two psukim with the reason? Again, there's no Kosov HaShlishi, Sheachriya Benem. The one pasuk says in Sefer Yoshua, the Hagisaba Yama Valayla. Simple pshat, you're supposed to learn all day and all night. The other pasuk says, V'yosafta D'ganecha, V'sirosh Chavitzarech, you have to work for a living. So which is it? So just like Reb Lezer holds, it's optional. There is no kosev ashlishi shechriya benem. So just like Reb Lezer ben Hurkanis says by atzeres l'ashem alkecha atzeres tialachem, he says here also, if osim etzayim shamlokaim, then zochu melachta nasas adeacher. Then other people will do the work for you, and you'll be able to sit and learn all day and all night. Preferable is that everybody should sit and learn all day and all night. And if ein osim etzayim shamlokaim, then it says, V'yasafta d'ganecha v'sirosh chavitzarech. It's problematic. What do you mean? The pasuk V'yasafta d'ganecha is in V'hayoyim Shemoa. That goes, V'hayoyim Shemoa tishmol mitzvaysai. It's oisim mitzvaynu shamokim. So how does he interpret the pasuk goes on? Ein oisim mitzvaynu shamokim. So that's a major problem. Chaim V'loshin talks about that in the Nefesh HaChaim, when he talks about the learning v'hasmada, learning Torah v'hasmada. So just like Reb Lezer holds over there, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds over here. Really, he's supposed to learn all day and all night. However you understand that. And just like Rabbi Shua disagrees over there, so Rabbi Shmuel disagrees over here. And he says, no. Hanik ben minik d'archeretz. Even though there is no kosev ashlishi shechriya b'neim, it's understood that you have to blend in the parnasa with the learning you learn. V'agisa b'yam avala is supposed to learn when you have free time. When you're busy eating and sleeping and making a parnasa, so that's not free time. When you have free time, then there's a chiyuv to learn all the time. So that's a machlokes satanaim. That's a machlokes satanaim in the midrash turned at reshes bam. If you have shnei ksuvim amakrishim zeh zeh, there is no kosev ashlishi shechriya b'neim. So Do you assume that it's optional, either A or B? That's how Reb Lezer holds, and that's how Reb Shimon Bar Yochai holds. It's either one or the other. Or do you, even though there is no kosher l'shlishi, you blend in the two together. You make your own compromise between the two. That's how we paskin. So the Gemara says this machlekes between Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, the Gemara Psochem, I think Daf Samaches on the base. The Gemara said this machlekes Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, how to observe Yontif, whether it should be Kula Lashem, or Kula Lachem, or Chalkei, or Chetz Lashem, or Chetz Lachem. Machlekes only applies on Pesach and on Sukkot, on Shavuos. Hakol Moedim, everybody agrees that you have to have elaborate meals because Yom Shenitna Batorah. Based on that Ramban Chumash, just like the Chazal commented on the Pesach, Vayechzos Halakim, Vayochlo Vayishtu, Mikam Shosim Suda Legemer Shal Torah. He's supposed to throw a party, the Kovid Kabbalah Satorah. So every year on Shavuos, on the anniversary of Kabbalah Satorah, also there's a mitzvah to demonstrate that we consider Kabbalah Satorah a milestone in the history of the Jewish people. So every year we celebrate by having an elaborate meal on Shavuos, more so than the rest of the year, more so than Pesach and Sukkot. You have more elaborate meals. So the Pashto says that, getting back again, when an Amoritz gets married, so Rashi quotes from the Gemara Psochem, Daf Mem Tes, it's a Sudas of Shus. That's what it says in the Gemara. So the Pella is why? Why the Amoritz doesn't have a mitzvah, Pira Verivia, doesn't have a mitzvah, according to the Ram, there are two mitzvah, mitzvah to get married, Kika Chishisha, and a mitzvah, Pira Verivia. Other Rishonim hold that there is no getting married, just a Hechshem mitzvah. If you're not married, you won't be able to have any children. You have to get married in order to be able to fulfill Pira Verivia. That's a machlek is the Rambam and Tesus, whether getting married is a mitzvah, getting married is only a Hechshem mitzvah to lead up to Pira Verivia. The Rambam writes that the two separate mitzvahs. So getting married is a mitzvah, but putting on talis and tefillin is also a mitzvah, and it doesn't require a suda. So why should you say that the Suda of a Chasan is a Suda's mitzvah? So that's what the Gemara says, a Chiddush. If a Talmid Chacham gets married, when he gets married, he'll be able to learn better. So it's like a new Kabbalah Satorah. That's a Gemara in Yevamos at the end of Perek Abba Yevimta. The Gemara talks about the significance of the mitzvah of getting married. The other day we had the women, the Shatranos, for YU Connects, introduced themselves. They're all very fine women. They're more than the three who spoke. They're more women. They're all very nice people. and they were very successful in reading good shiduchim. So not every mitzvah requires a sudas mitzvah. So the answer is a Talmid Chacham who gets, and the Gemara has there at the end of Abba Yevimta, Ashori below Isha. If a man is single, Ashori below Brocha, below Simcha, below Torah. He's missing a lot of things, a whole list of things. So one of the things is Ashori below Isha, Ashori below Torah. As much as a person learns when he's single, after he gets married, he will be able to learn better, have more menuchas hanefesh. He won't be nervous. He won't be thinking, whom is he going to marry? Right? He got married already, so he's going to calm down, be able to succeed in learning better. So therefore, just like Shavuos is the day of Kabbalah Satorah, and the Gemara says you have to have an elaborate meal to covet Kabbalah Satorah. So when a person is interested in learning and gets married, so then it's a new Kabbalah Satorah for him because he's going to succeed in learning more now. So that's why a Talmid Chacham who gets married is a Sudas Mitzvah. It doesn't mean that Amoritz doesn't do a mitzvah by getting married. He is doing a mitzvah. According to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah ki ikach ishish, a mitzvah to get married. And according to the other Rishonim, it's a Hechshem mitzvah. It'll lead him to have the ability to fulfill a mitzvah of Pirei Verivia, to raise a family. But just because one is doing a mitzvah, it doesn't require that you should throw a big party to have a Sudas mitzvah. Sudas mitzvah, the Gemara says, is only when it's a Talmid Chacham getting married, so it's he's gonna enhance his learning after he gets married. So that's a Gemara Psochem. That is a Gemara Psochem. Again, so the Gemara has this machlokes, Rav and the other Amoraim, is there such a din of basar shenasal min ha'ayin? So Rav came up with a chumrah that you're not allowed to eat basar shenasal min ha'ayin. And we explained yesterday it's because we're concerned maybe they had wild animals roaming around all over. Maybe a wild animal came and switched it, even though I know that I left the chicken on the kitchen table, or I left it, whatever, I know where I left it. But if I come back an hour later and I see that it's there, unless I have simanim on it. If you have simanim, or if you have a strong tviya zayin, that's a different story. But if you don't have simanim, you don't have a tviya zayin, then Rav came up with this chumrah that basha sam and ayin is also. Do we pass like Rav? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Mechaber. And simen, where is it? Samach Gimel, I think. Yeah. Here the Ayin Mishpatos, it's in Simen, Samach, Gimel, Sif, Aleph, and Beis. So first they quote the Rambam, and the Basha, Sam, and Ayin is Aser. And then the last line in Sif, Beis, they quote the Rabbeinu Tam, who disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says, we don't paskin like Rav. How does Rabbeinu Tam know we don't paskin like Rav? Because the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara asks a question, Ela Rav, around the 8 lines from the top of Tzadik Hei Amid Beis. Ela Rav, Hechi Ochal Bisra Bishait, Hechi Ochal Bisra. How did Rav ever eat meat? He was watching the meat from the time that they shechted it till the time that he eats it. And with the Gemara, Bishait Delalameinimine, he would only eat meat if it wouldn't be Bosses and Samurai. But the Gemara's Lashon, Ula Rav Hechi Ochal Bisra. How would Rav ever eat meat? Why don't the Gemara ask, Elehechi achlinan bisra? You see that it's only Rav's problem, that we don't hold like that. Similarly, when we learned the first perek, the Gemara says, Rameh chai shlemiyuta, and Rabban lo chai shlemiyuta. So whenever you shecht an animal, so you go basaroy, they rub behemoth aksheris. So, but there's a miyuta behemoth that are trefus. So the Gemara asks, but according to Rav Meir, so the Gemara says, oh, the Rav Meir, here, the last line on Yud Aleph on the base, in the first parak in Chulin. So the Gemara asks the question, Ule Rav Meir, Delachayish Lemiyuta, Acharami Delachal Bisra. What do you mean? Rav Meir never ate any meat because Chashin Lemiyuta. Why do they ask, oh, the Rav Meir, Hechi Achal Bisra? Why do they ask, Hechi Achlinan Bisra? It's only a question according to Rav Meir. We don't really hold back Rav Meir. We paskin lechashin lemiyuta. That's what Tosis points out there. The bottom Tosis, minikamal Rav Meir, velikam hechi achlina bisra mashma, velikam alon k'Rav Meir. So the Mordechai, in the back of the riff, you have the Mordechai. So Mordechai quotes on this sugya on the upside, okay? That is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam, whether we should paskin like Rav or not. So Rabbeinu Tam says, we don't paskin like Rav, haraya, because the Gemara's lotion was 7-8 lines from the top of Tzadikim and Beis. Elder the Rav Hechi Yochad Bisra. How did Rav ever eat bus? You see that coin to us, there's no problem. Yeah. The Gemara here, there's a... The Gemara says, how can you eat? How do you solve the problem of bus, slime, and iron? It's physically impossible. How can you be watching the meat all the time from the time you shecht it to the time you eat it? That's impossible. You always assume that it wasn't switched. So the Gemara says, if you have simonim, or you have tviya sayin, okay, if you have tviya sayin. So the Taz, and that simon, and simon, when the Shulchan Aruch says, either you have simonim, you can identify with simonim. It's from the Gemara. Either identify with simonim or identify with tviya sayin. So the Taz raises the question, tviya sayin? But we don't trust in Am Haaretz, but Tviya Sayin. If I find an Aveda and I don't know who it belongs to, so I put up a sign, I found a sweater. So when a person, I say, please contact me, and I write my phone number. So the guy calls me on the phone. So I ask him, give me some money. What color sweater was it? Was it a large size, extra large? Was it small? Did it have long sleeves, or sleeveless, or short sleeves? Describe the sweater. What was the name of the company? What was the make? It gives me simon. So the Gemara says, if the fellow who calls me up on the phone is a tzurva midrabanan, he's a talmid chacham. Unfortunately, there are talmid chachamim who tell lies also. So the Gemara says, if he's a tzurva midrabanan, if he's a talmid chacham, dodo mishani bidibure, he never tells a lie unless it's one of the things that the Gemara recommends you should tell a lie. Like if they ask him if he knows that he ever make a siyam hashas. So he made a siyam hashas, but he wants to be humble, so he says, not yet. He hasn't yet made a siyam hashas. So the Gemara says it's recommended to lie about mesichta, about how much you know how to learn, mitam anova. or if they want to pry into his private affairs to know when he was with his wife. It's none of their business, so he doesn't have to tell them the truth. The Gemara says three different things. B'puria, b'mesichta, b'yoshpiza. So the tzurvim of the Rabbanon, if you have a Talmud Chacham who never tells a lie, except for the three rare cases where the Chazal recommend you should tell a lie, sometimes a mitzvah to tell a lie. So then you can give him back the Hashavas Aveda b'tviya sayin. He says, we know the person calls me on the phone, he says, tzurvim of the Rabbanon. I don't have to ask him what's the name of the company, what color sweater is it, with sleeves, without sleeves. How warm is it? Is it thick wool? Is it thin wool? I say, okay, come and look at the sweater and tell me if it's yours. You can give back the Aveda b'tviya sayin. But if he's an Amoretz, and Amoretz doesn't necessarily mean he's not so learned. Amoretz means that sometimes he will tell a lie, even when it's not recommended by the Gemara. So then you don't give back an Aveda b'tviya sayin. So the Taz asks a question. You see that tviya sayin is only good for Talmud Chacham. So how come over here, by Bosher Shalom Salman Ayin, If an Amoret says a tviya sayin, the chef is not such an honest person that lo mishani b'dibur, he never tells a lie. Nah, he once in a while he does tell a lie. He's not going to cheat someone in money because lying is not a ganef, but he does tell a lie. So the Taz asked Akasha, how come it seems over here that even an Amoret is believed with a tviya sayin? The chefs are not all such tamid chacham. How come we trust him on Bosh Shana Shana Salman Ayin? So he said, he quotes the Tosfos on Omud Aleph, on Tzadik Hei, Omud Aleph. The end, the last line, Omar Rav, Bosh Shalom and Ayin Oser. So Tosfos says, after the letter Aleph from the Bach there, the last line, the Chumra bi Almahu, Mishum Uvda Dahavi Kedila Kamon. The Gemara tells a story. The last line on Tzadik Hei and Aleph going over Talmud Beis and Gemara. Who got it? Once upon a time, there was a person, the Habe Mechaver Reisha. He shechted an animal, or they shechted an animal for him, and he had the head of the animal, and he was washing it out with water in the river. So Nafal Minei, so he dropped the head into the river, and the river was deep, so he couldn't just stick his hand in. So he took a pail, a bucket, he took a sal, icy silta, he took a basket, Shoda, so he threw the basket in, he tied the basket onto a rope, and he threw it in down, deep into the water, and then he pulled the basket up, two heads came up. So, is that possible? He only dropped one head, so how come two heads? Obviously, maybe one of the heads, maybe neither of the heads is the one he dropped in, maybe one of them is, but the other one is clearly not. So that's the chumra, you're not allowed to eat buses on Shana Salman Ayin. That's why Rav is machmir because of that Meister Shach. So Tosfos says that even Rav only did it as a chumra b'yama, not mi'ikar adin. So there's such a similar Tosfos in Bava Metzia and Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. Take a look here on Tzadik Hei Amid Beis, the bottom Tosfos. B'charuzim hareza simen. If you have when is simonim relevant? When is simonim relevant? If someone lost an aved, then he's not a tzurvim of the rabban of the lo mishani b'dibur. It's not such a tam chacham who never tells a lie. So then he has to tell me simonim. So the Gemara has a discussion in Bava Metzia on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. You see the bottom Tosfos on Tzadik Hei Amid Beis Dibur Masa b'charuzim. So on the margin, on the side, they tell you I know Tosfos Bava Metzia Chav Gimel Amid Beis. So the Gemara there has a discussion. The Gemara says there are three levels of simonim. Simonim is relevant for Hashavas Aveda, and Simonim is relevant for Meis Baila. If a woman is married and the husband disappears, and then we find a male dead body, you have to know that it's a male dead body. So do you say you put two and two together, you get 22 just because you found a dead body. So it means that it's her husband. So if you can recognize the face, okay. But if you can't recognize the face, so then simonim is also a good way of identifying the person. So what constitutes simonim? So the Gemara says there in Bava Metzia, there are three levels of simonim. There is simonim mufakim, simonim beinanim, and simonim geruim. Let's say she says, my husband was tall and thin. So all the people in the world are divided into four categories, tall and thin, tall and fat, and short and thin, and short and fat. So 25% of the world population is tall and thin. She says, my husband wore glasses. Half the people, probably more than half the people in the world, wear glasses. That's a siman garua. And then she says, my husband was tall and thin and he wore glasses. Half the people in the world, one quarter of the people in the world, or one eighth of the people in the world are tall and thin, they wear glasses. She says, and he wore an abercomfus. It still doesn't add up to, if you have a lot of simonim gruim, it doesn't add up to anything. A siman muvik is echad mini elef. Let's say she says, my husband had 6 fingers on his right hand and 4 fingers on the left hand. How many people do you have with 6 fingers on the right hand? She says, he had 3 eyes. Instead of normal 2 eyes, he had 3 eyes. That's echad mini elef, 1 in 1,000 people who has 3 eyes on his face. So that's a siman muvik. So siman muvik, the Gemara says, everybody agrees that that works min haTorah by Hashavas Aveda. Siman muvik is good min haTorah. And if the husband is, the married woman's husband is missing and you find a dead body has 6 fingers on the right hand, 4 fingers on the left hand, you assume that and her husband went traveling on that highway. He went on that road. And then you find the dead body, a male. If you find a female dead body with 6 fingers on the right hand, 4 fingers on the left hand, it's not her husband, okay? But if it's a male dead body and has a siman muvik, echad mini elef, so that is certainly good. That's good by Meis Bailet to be Matar and Aguna, and that's good by Hashabbos Aveda. The Gemara has a discussion. What if it's a Simen Beinani? Not such a Simen Muvik, Simen Beinani. Not that 6 fingers on the right hand, 4 fingers on the left hand. He had a scar on his forehead. Well, a lot of people have scars on their forehead. So that's a Shaila in the Gemara, where the Simen Beinani is good men HaTorah, or it's only a takonim of the rabbanim. But Hashabbos Aveda, you do give back the Aveda, even though the person only has a siman beinani. He doesn't have a siman muvik. So the Gemara is not sure, is that a din min haTorah? And if it's a din min haTorah, it's a good way to identify a dead, it's a good way to identify an Aveda, then it works min haTorah to identify the dead husband also. So siman beinani would be good to be matar and agunim. Or should I assume, no, that siman beinani doesn't work min haTorah? It only works midirabbanan based on hefker bezn hefker, that everyone would be happy to allow someone who lost an aveda to get it back with the siman beinani. In case I lost an aveda, I would like to get it back with the siman beinani. Maybe someone else is going to give a siman beinani and pick up the aveda that I lost with the siman beinani. So the Gemara says maybe the chachamim made a takana. Maybe min haTorah siman beinani is not really sufficient evidence that it's his aveda, but it's a takana midirabbanan based on hefker bezn hefker. And what's the rationale? What's the reason why they make such a takana midirabbanan? Because mistama, everyone would be happy to be able to get back his own aveda with the siman beinani, even if it means that sometimes his aveda that he lost will be given to someone else. The tzibu would probably like that. The chacham want to make a takana if people will be happy with the takana. So if it's only a takana with the rabbanan, then it only works in dini mamonis and is based on hefke bez nefke. It wouldn't work by Meis Bailet. So in the Rambam, there's a problem. The Kes Mishnah points out the problem. The Rambam writes that the Rambam sounds like he says, Hashabbos Aveda works men haTorah even siman beinani. But he says, for Meis Bailet, you have to have a siman muvik. So that's against the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say, if siman beinani works min haTorah by Hashabbos Aveda, adrosh achicha also. The Gemara comments on the pasuk, you give back the Aveda when the fellow asks for it. Adrosh, the Gemara says, of course. How can you give back the Aveda before he asks for it? You don't know who lost it. I don't know who the owner is. So why to say you should keep the Aveda until he asks for it? Obviously, keep it till the end. Gemara says, no, Darshev Shalo Yehei Ramai, Pashab Shatan and Pasuk, Adrosh Achicha Oso, you hold on to the Aveda, you watch it until the rightful owner comes and he requests of you. You put up a sign, you found the sweater. And if he calls on a phone and he says, I lost the sweater, that's Drosh Achicha Oso. The Baal Aveda comes and he asks for it. So the Gemara interprets, the Torah Shabbat interprets a different level of interpretation on the whole Pasuk that it means the reverse. Adrosh Achicha, you should interrogate the one who calls on the phone. You should ask him, give me simanim. Don't give him back the Aveda so quickly. Not Rosh Achicha means the Baal Aveda contacts you and he says, please give me back my sweater. I lost the sweater. It means you should interrogate him and ask him for simanim. So we learn out from that pasuk that simanim is a good way to identify an item. But that's the shaila in the Gemara, whether you need simen muvak or simen emtzoi. Simen emtzoi is also good. Simen garua is no good. No good benatar, no good merabon. Simen benini is a shaila. So the Gemara seems to say if simen benini is good by Hashabbos Avedi benatar, based on that pasuk, adrosh achichos adosheu shelo yehei ramai, then it should be good by Meis Baila also. And the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam sounds like he says, Ashavas Aveda Simen Beinani is good min HaTorah. And by Meis Baila, you need a Simen Muvak. So in the Rambam, it's Astira M'Psak. It's Astira M'Psak. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a beautiful explanation on the Rambam, but it's still against the Gemara. The Rambam makes sense, but the Gemara says not so. The Gemara says that the two are connected. Simen Beinani works by Hashavas Aveda. It should also work by Meis Baila, min HaTorah, yeah. I don't really understand what's the issue of Simen Beinani, whether Simen Beinani works Menater. The din is that in Halchim Mammon Achar Haroi, there can't be Moitzi Mammon from a Muchzik, Machlek is Rabbi Shmuel, and Bava Kama, and Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. And so we paskin that in Halchim Mammon Achar Haroi, you're not Moitzi Mammon from a Muchzik based on a Roiv. By Hashabbos Aveda, you always give back based on a Roiv. Hashabbos Aveda, whenever there's a rub, you get, why? Because it's not Keneged HaMuchzik. The one who picked up the Aveda says explicitly, it doesn't belong to me. So he's not Muchzik on it, and the rightful owner isn't here. We don't know who the real owner is. This fellow claims that it's his. So if he gives Simonim, so the Rav is that he's the owner, if he gives Simonim. So what's the Shaila in the Gemara? Would they need Simon Muvak Echadini Elof, or even a Simon Beinani is also good? It's a Shaila whether this constitutes a roiv or not. I really didn't understand. I remember years ago, Rabbi Gifter told me, I should look in Achem D'Shloimei. He talks about that kasha. Achem D'Shloimei was the rabbi in Warsaw, contemporary of Rabbi Akiva Iger in the early 1800s, and they used to correspond with each other. Rabbi Akiva Iger lived in, was a Yeke, and Achem D'Shloimei was a Polish in Warsaw. And the Beis Meir, they all used to correspond with each other. So I never found that Chem D'Shloimei. I said, now I recently got a whole set of the Chem D'Shloimei. I should take a look. Because that question always bothers me. What's the whole discussion in the Gemara? What's the whole pilpul? Whether Simon Beinani works Menator Merabon? It is a roif. If it's a roif, so she could be, should be good Menator. Why do you need Dafke Simon Mover? But so getting back again. When do you need a simen muvak by meis baila? Because meis baila is a shaila deraisa of loisinav isa veheta. And then in mamonis, you can say hefke bez nefke. So hashavas aveda. Even the Gemara says even if you hold that simen benini doesn't work, menatar mid the rabbanim and the chachamim have the right to say that simen benini is good. Hefke bez nefke. What if you're dealing with an issue the rabbanim like basas and salam and ayin? So in order to, that it shouldn't be busted, if you hold like Rob, if you don't hold like Rob, so that's not a problem. I left it in the refrigerator. I left it on the table and I come back, it's the same place. So I assume that it's the kosher food. The Rama says the minig by the Ashkenazim is that we follow the Rabbi Natam, that we don't pass like Rob. We don't hold from the whole din of busted Psalm and Ayin. And even if you do hold from the din, the Gemara says, Rob holds from the, he made up this din, busted Psalm and Ayin. So it's only a chumrah. It's not a big chumrah yisera, they say. So a simen benini would also be good. That's how the rishonim all say simen benini would be good. So Tosis even says more than a simen benini. Gemara has a shaila. What if I left the meat, a few pieces of meat, all tied on a string, on one string? It's bacharuzim. So the Gemara says, "Bacharuzim hareza simen." That's the bottom Tosfos on Tzadikim the base. "Bacharuzim hareza simen." So Tosfos is bothered with Akasha. Apparently, it's not so common that people tie a lot of flesh on one string. So how come it says in the Tosefta and Bob Metzia, if you find an Abed, the shame was simen hareyelu shalo. You have a right to keep it because how is the owner is going to be misyayish from it? He doesn't have a simen, so how is he ever going to get it back? So the Tosefta gives an example. Charuzim shel basar harielu shelo, because there's no simen. So Tos says, but here the Gemara says, if you have meat on a charuzim, you have a string. I have a few pieces of meat tied on the string, that it is a simen. So Tos answers, even according to Rav, that's how Here it's a little unclear. There in Bab Metzia it's a little clearer. Bab Metzia Chav Gimel Amesim Amaschal Machrozos. And there on the side of the Gemara in Bab Metzia Chav Gimel Amesim, they printed on the side, look in the Maharam Lublin, on the bottom of the Maharsha. So the Maharam says that even according to Rav, who holds from this Chumra, the Tosis wrote that it's only a Chumra B'Yalma. That was the last line in the Tosis Tzad Kem and Aleph Dima Maschal Omar Rav. So they said Chumra B'Yalma. So even though Rav is the one who asks Basha Salman Ayin, he would be Mekel with the Simen Garua. He wouldn't even require Simen Beinani, since it's only Chumra Midirabbanan. When you have a real Din Midirabbanan, so then you need a Simen Beinani. So even if your Simen Beinani is no good by Hashabbos Aveda, and it's no good by Meis Baila, because it's only good Midirabbanan, but if the whole issue of Issa V'Heter is only the Rabbanon, then Simen Beinani would be good enough. But by Basra Svamin Ayin, it's a weaker din the Rabbanon. It's only a Chumra mid the Rabbanon. So you don't even need a Simen Beinani. Even if Simen Garua would be sufficient to be Mekel. They're identified as the same meat that you left there before. That's how the Maharam read that Tosfos. We should check to see that the Tosfos HaRosh. We should check here. Tosfos HaRosh on Ardaf, on Tzadikim Abeis. The Tosfos HaRosh in Bob Metzia Daf Chav Gimel. Is that the pshat in the Tais? Even Simen Garua is good. In Achrayim and Simen Yud Zayin and Ebenezer, Simen Yud Zayin and Ebenezer is the longest Simen in all of Shulchan Aruch. Simen Yud Zayin is all about Heter Agunis. You go through the history of the Jewish people, all the pogroms, all the centuries. So they have gory descriptions of people, dead bodies. The head was cut off, the arm was cut off, and so on, mutilated bodies. So how could you identify the dead body as being the husband of this wife to allow the wife to remarry? Heter Agunis, Simen Yud Zayin. So they have their Pischei Tshuva. It's very rich over there. Pischei Tshuva is always great. So the Pischei Tshuva is a likut of all the Achrayim on the bottom of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch. And the Rechayim, they printed the Shari Tshuva. So the Shari Tshuva is not as strong as the Pischei Tshuva. But the Pischei Tshuva and Ebenezer and Yeridei HaChashmesh are very strong. So there in Simen Yud Zayin, he quotes a machlokes Achrayim. What about Maim Shein Lahem Sof? Let's say there was a person drowned in the ocean, and it's if a person drowns in a lake, and it's not such a big lake, and there were witnesses standing there, and they see all the edges. Maim Sheyesh Lahem Sof. They can see all of the edges of the lake, and they're standing there for half an hour, and nobody came out of the lake. So obviously the man died. So you can permit his wife to remarry, even though you don't have a dead body, but nobody can hold the breath for half an hour. So obviously he's dead. But if he drowned in a Maim Sheela himself, means he drowned in a river or in a lake, and you cannot see, the Adam who is standing over here cannot see all the edges of the lake. The lake goes past what they can see. So there's a far out chance that maybe the man swam under the water and maybe he came up past the location where we can see. A very far-fetched chashash. And the Gemara says that it once happened that we thought a person drowned, a fisherman. We thought the fisherman went fishing. He never came home that day. So they thought that he must have drowned. So they were delivering hespedim the next day. They weren't having a levaya. There was no dead body, but they were delivering hespedim. So the man comes back to town in the middle of the delivery of the hespedim. So they say, we thought that you were dead. So he says, no. He somehow fell into the river, and then he found a cave under the water, and then he was walking through the cave, and then the sun set. And he didn't know how to get out of the cave. So he stayed awake all night long until the sun came up the next morning. And then when it was light in this underground cave, so then he found his way out again and he came back home to the city. So the Gemara said, because of this far-fetched story that happened once in 1,000 years, so they made a chumra mid rabbanan on Maim Sheein Lahem Sof. It's very difficult. Why do they make such a wild chumra? It's so far-fetched that such a thing is going to happen. So some of the Achrayim, Tosfos writes in one place because it's a miyut hamatzui. Miyut hamatzui. Miyut hamatzui that a person drowns in a river and he doesn't show up in a few years. We wait a few years and he doesn't show up. Yeah, today there's so much, the whole world is interconnected. There are telephones, there are emails. Is it still also b'zman hazeh? So some rishonim say, if the husband doesn't come back in a few years, that itself is a raya that he's dead. How would he leave his wife? He would certainly contact his wife and tell her that he's still alive. So we're, that's a question. That's a question. Especially today, we have communication all over the world. Anyway, so one of the achrayim, several of the achrayim write that Maim She'en Lahem Sof was a chumra midrabbanon. So Tosfos writes that it's a miut hamotzei. Very difficult. It's a miut she'en hamotzei legamre. Such a thing that a person will find an underground cave under the water that he's not going to drown. Very strange. So a few achrayim write like this. The Chachamim felt compelled to be mekel eid echad as good by meis baila. Because in the days of the Roman persecution, the days of the Churban Bayis Sheni, they were throwing Jewish people in dungeons and they would let them die from starvation there. And you would be happy if there would be an eid echad. There would rarely be two eidim. There would rarely be two eidim who would be able to testify, we know for sure that the husband is dead. The same thing in Siberia. When a lot of Jews during the war were in Siberia or in the concentration camps. So sometimes it was very difficult. It wasn't so easy at all. Some of the people, before they died, they called over Adam and they said, you watch the way I'm, watch that I'm going to die. So you'd be able to, the wife was not there with him. The wife was somewhere else. So a lot of the wives survived and the husbands died in Siberia. And they said, we want to have Adam that my wife should be able to remarry. Wasn't so easy. So in the days of the Tanaim, they felt compelled to be mekel that eid echad is good by meis baila. Mi'ikra din eid echad should not be accepted. It should really require two eidim, because it's a dabur shel bi'ara to say that a single woman is an eshes ish, to say that an eshes ish is meis baila. So you really should require two eidim. So it's a big kula. So the Osamech has this, and other achrayim have this. The achrayim have it that in order to offset the mistaken impression that's conveyed by being mekel, eid echad is good. It's like the iser loisinov is a light iser, like eid echad is neman on kashrus, eid echad is neman on a dov shebi erva. It's not so mikra din you need to eat him. So in order to dispel this mistaken impression that the issues of dov shebi erva are taken care of very lightly, you don't have to be so serious. Even eid echad is good. Even a nochri misich lefituma is good. We wouldn't rely on a nochri misich lefituma and an isa deraisa. We said the Taz says kveil aramoz neman because nochri misich lefituma is good in isurim. And the Shach says we don't accept that. And the rabbanim says a machlokes. So that we're mekel and yeredeya. We rely on a nochri misich lefituma and a din derabbanim isa deheta, but not on a din deraisa. By meis baila we're mekel. Wow. So in order that people shouldn't think that it's a light iser, so they put on the books a chumra that Maim She'en Lahem Sof, you don't allow the woman to remarry. What they make such a chumra for? They only meant it on the books. They just meant it should take, usually Maim She'en Lahem Sof, Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan is famous for this. He built up the kula of Trei Rubei. By Maim She'en Lahem Sof, the roiv is that the person probably drowned, he's dead. But there were machmir midrabbanan, so if you have a double roiv, then there's room to be mekel. Let's say a plane exploded in the air. The husband was on that plane. The plane exploded in the air. Someone put a bomb on the plane. So whenever a plane explodes, the ruba is all the people get killed on the plane. And then the plane crashed into the ocean. So even if the husband wasn't killed on the plane because of the explosion, he probably drowned in the ocean. So that's called Trei Rubei. You have a double roiv. Or the Mishkan Es Yankif, Rabbi Yankel Karlina, was a talmid of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. So he writes up this heter. He says, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner paskin like this. In earlier generations, there's a tshuva sefer Beis Yaakov, Shalosh Tshuvos Beis Yaakov. So usually we don't accept the things that he writes, but over here it was accepted. He's the one who came up with this kula that if you have Trei Rubei, even though Maim She'en Lahem Sof are not mekel, but if you have a double roiv, then you are mekel. So Rubei the Rubei, every case of Maim She'en Lahem Sof is going to be a double roiv. So Rabbi Yankel Karlina has in his Mishkan Es Yankel, he has a case. A man was walking on a bridge over a river. but it was the winter time, so the river was iced over. Sometimes the river or the lake is iced over. You can go with a tractor, you can go with an automobile on the ice, and it won't fall in. So the woman was married, and the husband was walking on a bridge from one side of the river to the other, and he slipped, and he fell down, and he fell with his head first, and he like six flights down. The bridge was so high, and the ice was so hard, they would go with horses, with wagons. They would go on the ice, one side of the river to the other. So the husband fell down head first. So the rav is that a person who falls head first from six flights up gets a concussion, and he gets killed when he crashes into the ground. And then he made a hole in the ice, and his body fell under the ice, and they couldn't retrieve the body. They couldn't find the body. Even after all the snow melted, they couldn't retrieve the body. So there's a double rive. One rive is he probably got killed from the impact when he fell head first on the ice. And then, and even if he didn't die from that, but then he probably drowned when the body went under the surface of the ice. So whenever you have Trey Rube, Rav Chaim Volozhiner was Mekel, Mishkan Es Yankiv quotes it in his Tshuva. I don't think it's in the Mishkan Es Yankiv. The Tshuvas that he were not included were printed in his Sefer, Kohel Es Yankiv. It's a smaller Sefer. It's a lot on Brochas and on Gemara Seder Moed, and then he has a few Tshuvas in the end. So I think this one is in the volume that's called Kohel Es Yankiv, by the same author as the Mishkan Es Yankiv. And then later, Rabbi Yitzchok Hana was in the late 1800s, early. He died in the late 1800s. She was Yitzchok Hanan, was named after him, I think, in the 1880s. He died in 1886 or something like that. So that's where they established two yeshivas on the Lower East Side. One yeshiva was Etz Chaim, that was named after Volozhin. Etz Chaim was the yeshiva's Volozhin, and one was yeshiva Yitzchok Hanan. Then the two joined together. That's why on the YU emblem they had Etz Chaim also, because that was the name of one of the two yeshivas. So Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan was the one who wrote, he was Mefarsim this kula of Trey Ruby. And the Rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael always relies on this. Whenever a submarine disappears or something, a submarine explodes, there's always going to be a Trey Ruby, always going to be a double rive. So the question is like this. So that's what some Achrayim say. The Chachamim, the Tanoim who made this Chumra, Maim Shem Hamsof, they didn't really mean to be Machman. They just meant it should take another week till you come up with a Trey Rube. Because Ruba de Ruba, most of the cases, there's going to be a double Rive. Very rare. It's very rare that you have here. There was a woman here in the neighborhood. I live in Washington Heights. So there was a woman whose husband was on a plane over Africa in the middle of a Jewish German woman from the Ekashi community. Husband was on a business trip over Africa and the plane crashed and they never retrieved the body. So that was a Maim Shem Hamsof. She was an Aguna till she died. She was an Aguna, and after she died, then they said they think they found the plane. That was 50, 60 years after the plane crashed. They never even found the plane crash. So finally, after so many years, they thought that they found the plane. They're not going to find any bodies 60 years later. They're not going to find the bodies. They're all eaten up by the animals already. It crashed in the African jungles. So again, so Maim Shein Lamsof is only a Chumra Midrabbanan. And a few Achrayim say, there are some Achans like this. He has a comment. He quotes Rashi has this. I think in the beginning of Yuma, the first half in Yuma, maybe. The Tzedukim didn't accept Torah Shabbat Peh. Bizman Baisheni. So the Tzedukim made up their own dinim. Sometimes Lahachmer, sometimes Lahakel. So one of the dinim that they had, Lahachmer, was, he's a Dohar ala Tomei. If a person is a Tomei Mace, he can't just go to Mikveh and become Tohar. He has to have Hazor Shlishishi from Paraduma water. On the third day, you have to wait at least 3 days. If you can make 30 years also. But you have to wait at least 3 days, and then you have to wait 4 days later. Hazor Shlishishi from Paraduma water. And then it can be Toivon and the Mikveh to become Tohar. So the Pasuk says the Hazor Shlishishi has to be Behiza HaTohar Ala Tomei. So how Tohar does the Tohar have to be when he does Hazor? So the Tzedukim were of the opinion that if he himself the one who's going to do the hazor, if he's going to be a tameh who just went to mikveh today and he's a tful yom, his tahar was not completed. He's not yet fully tahor. So the tradition has it that it's not correct because the word behiza hatahor is written chumash chasavov. And every letter was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. So the Rabbeinu Shalom dictated the word tahor, chasavav, to mean incomplete tahara. He's a tahor ala tami, even if he has an incomplete tahara, he's a tul yom. He was tevil in the mikveh, but he didn't have a chance to have har shemesh yet. He can still do hazah shlishi shvi. So the Gemara says, whenever they made a paraduma, and by Sheni, they made a few every 50 years, every 75 years, 100 years, made another paraduma. The Mishnah lists off, historically, there were 9 paradumas. Lasilav is going to be a 10th paraduma. The Mishnah gives you the list in para. When were the 9 paradumas done? So, whenever Bisman by Sheni, that they were fighting against the Tzdukim, so they wanted to demonstrate that to the public that everything the Tzdukim say is not correct. Ben lahakal, ben lahachmer. So, the poyin who would be in charge of burning a paraduma when they had to make a new one every 75 years or so, so there would be metame him on person, have him go to the mikveh, and the dafke have him make the paraduma as a tul yom, lehotzi milibam shel atzdukim, to show, to bend over backwards, to show that the tzdukim are wrong, that even though you're a tul yom, you're a tohar koldu, and Torah called the who is good enough. He's our Torah al atami, he's chasavav. That's good enough. The Gemara has a lot of dinim learned out from Moli and Chasim. The Gemara talks about the word na'ara in Arish and Espatza in the fourth parak in Ksuvis. The word na'ara is usually spelled, most of the time, is spelled in Chumash Nunai and Reish. And we read it na'ara. And once in a long while, it's spelled Nunai and Reish. So the Gemara explains there's a difference in din. If it's spelled Molei, so it means that she's a full naira. A naira is after 12 years old. But if a naira chaser, even an incomplete naira, even a ketana, will also be included, as long as she's not a bogeris. So Gemara learns that from Molni Chaser. O kedoshim tiyu ki kodesh ani, kedoshim tiyu is chasavav, ki kodesh ani is molevav. A lot of different drushes based on Molni Chaser, yeah. You don't even pay attention to it, but it seems from the Gemara that that was the mocker of many of the drushes. So the Gemara says, "Lahotzi milibam shel atzdukim." They wanted to demonstrate that there's absolutely nothing wrong if the kohen hasarif has a par is a tul yom. So the practice would be every 75 years when they made a paradum, a new one, they'll be metamin kohen hoyu a kohen hasarif has a par. Have him go to the mikveh, have him dafka make the paraduma, burn the paraduma when he was a tful yom. But this is going to cause a mistaken impression as if paraduma, anything goes, you don't have to be so careful. So they felt compelled to do that shtick, to demonstrate we don't accept anything that tzdukim say, even though they came up with a chumrah, that a tful yom is no good for paraduma. So they demonstrate that it's wrong. But in order to upset the mistaken impression that anything goes, you don't have to be so careful about Tumah Betara by Paraduma. So they introduce wild chumras that the kelim that they use for Paraduma had to be kleglolam, kleavonim, kleadoma, that is simply not makabel Tumah. Even if it's in contact with the mace, it's not makabel Tumah. And they used to ask women to volunteer. They made a new paraduma every 75 years or so when you needed one. So all the years in between, they would ask women, pregnant women, who wants to volunteer to give birth to a baby and raise the baby till he'll be 7, 8, 9 years old, just in case we'll need to make another paraduma. We want to have little children. We know for sure at Tohar that they never became Tomei at all. So there would be a little area, let's say 4 square blocks, 2 blocks by 2 blocks, 4 square blocks, where we know that for sure there's no mace over there. Can never tell. Maybe where you're walking, maybe there's a mason buried underneath. So they had a certain area in Yerushalayim, a tiny little area. So pregnant women would volunteer to live in that tiny area. And then after the baby's born, they're not going to go out of the area because we know for sure everything is Torah here. In case when the child is 2 years old, 3 years old, he won't be able to do it. When he'll be around 9 years old, he may be called upon to do a paraduma, and he'll draw the water, and he used to ride them on, and he used to have little children draw the water for the paraduma water. So why they do that? Why they introduced the wild chumers? Because they introduced a kula. They felt compelled to introduce a kula to be metame the kain hasarif hasapara. Kedei lehotzi milibam shalat zdukim, to show that the zdukim are wrong. So because they felt compelled to introduce that kula, so they felt compelled to introduce a chumer to offset the mistaken impression that anything goes. So that's what the Osamech says. The same is by the Meis Bailam, because the Chacham felt compelled to introduce a kula, that Eid Echod is good. If you're not going to rely on Eid Echod, thousands of women would be agunas, because the Romans would put them in dungeons and they would die there from starvation, and no one would know. So we were happy when there would be an Eid Echod. So the Chachamim were mekel. We're not sure exactly how it worked, how the kula of Eid Echod works. It's a big machlekes in Hashem. How the Chacham have the right to be mekel? They're not authorized to be mekel on the din hatar. En kerech b'achacham lakadom en hatar b'kum b'yasei. That's a big discussion in the Rishonim. So because they felt compelled to introduce the kula, Eid Echad is good, and Nochem Misich Levitum is good, not even good by Yisav Heta, by Adin Deraisa. So therefore they felt compelled to introduce a chumra to upset the mistaken impression from the kula. So that's why they introduced, that's what motivated them to introduce the chumra of Maim Shein Hamsof. But they never really meant to asa b'mayim shein hamsof. They just meant it should take another week till you come up with a trei rubei, and then it'll be, let's say, the rabbanut. And the rabbanut and Eretzel, they always come up with that there. After Mechemet Yom HaKippurim, there were a lot of agunas. So Chacham Avadya was mata every single one. Many of the Ashkenazi rabbanim were very unhappy. Every single aguna, he was mata every single, but his family is very proud of it. Because he was very proud of it. He felt that's his responsibility, it's his obligation to be matter all over the agunas. So again, so if you have a maim she'en l'hamsof, so the woman is only asura midirabbonim. So ruba de ruba, you're going to have a trei ruba, and we'll be maker like Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan is known, the Rab Chaim Volozhiner and the Mishkanos Yagid, they're known for this heter, trei ruba. So what if you have maim she'en l'hamsof and you don't have the trei ruba? So then you ask the woman, but she's only asura midirabbonim. On the level of the Raisa, she's really Mutera. So what if you find a dead body, and the only way to identify it as the woman's husband is only with Simon and Benanayim? So Simon Muvik is needed when you have an Aguna de Raisa. Here, Minatar, the woman, the husband drowned. Maim Shein Lamsav, you know, I know, we all know the husband is dead. The husband drowned in the ocean. Of course he's dead. It's a Chumra Midirabbanon. He felt compelled to make a Chumra Midirabbanon. Maim Shein Lamsav, she's not allowed to remarry. So since it's only with the Rabbanon, so many Achranim say Simon Emtzoi would be good. Hey Mamru, hey Mamru. If you're dealing with an Aguna Deraisa, a real Eshesish Deraisa, then you need Simon Emuvakim. Simon Emtzoi is no good, Menatar. But if you're just dealing with an Issa de Rabbanon, then Simon Benini would be good enough. So here, Taisa seems like they're saying that Bosish and Samanai, even if you're all like Rav, you don't even need a Simen Beinani. It's only a Chumra B'Yalma. Even a Simen Garua would also be good. Simen Garua for sure is no good. It's not even good Medir Rabbanan by Ashavas Aveda. It's considered Charuzim is considered like Dobish Ein Bo Simen. It's a Simen Garua because everybody puts the meat on a string. But for the purpose of Basar Salam and Ayin, even according to Rab, it's only a Chumra Midirabbanan, so that Simi Guru will be good enough. So that's a big machlekes in Achrenim, whether by Maim Shein himself, would you rely on a Simen Benini because it's only the Rabbanan. The Beis HaLevi has a tshuva, Rab Chaim's father. The Beis HaLevi has a tshuva, he doesn't like that kula for Achrenim. He thinks that even though it's only Midirabbanan, but Midirabbanan, they said that you don't rely on the roiv, that the guy probably died. So she's an eshes ish deraisa then. With the rabbanu, she's an eshes ish deraisa. So you need a simen muvik. He holds that a simen benini is not good. But many achrenim are mekel. The simen benini would be good. Pischei tshuva quotes. Chidush harim has a tshuva, he's mekel. Many achrenim are mekel on simen benini by Maim Shein himself. Here on this daf, when the Gemara talks about this din of Basar Salman Ayin, So in Tzadikim at Aleph, the Gemara quotes Abraisa. And I find a piece of meat in the street in the city. So the odds are 9 to 1 that it came from the kosher store. So you go basara binim tzahalachacharayf. But if, let's say, I have non-Jewish workers and I'm obligated to serve them lunch. They work by me, construction workers, whatever. They work by me all day long. And I'm a part of the deal as I pay them salary and I have to give them lunch also. So I'm allowed to buy a treifa and a vela and cook it in a treifa pot and feed it to the workers. It's mutta b'ano. The vela treifa is mutta b'ano. It's only osa b'achila. I have a separate pot. So I went to the store and I bought meat. And then afterwards, I forgot whether I bought kosher meat for myself, for me and my family. I bought treifa meat for the workers. I know I had to buy meat and I had to buy for my wife and I had to buy. I don't remember. I forgot. All the people forget a lot of things, so he forgot. So that's Teshe Chanuyas, Kuna Machas, Baso Shchut Vachas, Mechares Besan Avela, and he bought Lokach Meyachad, Mehem Eledem, Ezmem Lokach. He doesn't remember whether he bought tray for food for the workers or he bought kosher food for the family. So that's a Din Kol Kavua Ke Machza Machza Dami, even though the odds are 9 to 1, that it came, that it's kosher, you don't go Baso Reif. Where in the world did they dig this one up from? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains that it's based on the Pasuk. Do they tell you where it is in Sanhedrin? I don't see it on the daf, but it's in Sanhedrin in the Sugyas of Ritzicha, in the Ayin Zayin, around Daf Ayin Hey, Ayin Zayin, in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara has a Pasuk by Ritzeach. Ba'arav la'vikama la'vikol nafesh. If a person waits, he ambushes someone. And he kills him, so you give him the death penalty. So the Gemara wants to know, why does it say, Ba'arab loy, the Kamalov? So there's a machloike satanoim. So Rab Shimon, by Yechoy, Rab Shimon is of the opinion, this Kamal haragazeh, baharagazeh, is not chayiv misa. So that's what it means, Ba'arab loy, the Kamalov. I premeditated murder, I want to kill that person. Then accidentally, instead of killing him, I killed the person next to him. I don't know how to shoot straight. So I shot the wrong person, but the one whom I killed was also a Yisrael. So it's a machlokes hatanaim. Is that called ritzicha b'mezid? So one who kills b'mezid is chayv misa. So you say no. This kamal haragazeh b'haragazeh is potter. So Reb Shimon holds potter. The Rambam, for some reason or another, paskins like Reb Shimon. The Raibit is masig on the Rambam. Why in the world did he decide to paskin like Reb Shimon? Machlokes yochid b'rabim malachik Rambam. The din should have been like the Rabbanan. The Gemara presents it that the majority of the Chachamim don't agree with Reb Shimon. So that's a problem with the Rambam. Why the Rambam paskins like Reb Shimon? So the Chachamim, the Reb Shimon, what do they do with that word, V'arav loy v'kom alav? So that they say, no, there is no such din. This kamen l'haragazeh v'haragazeh is potter. I really wanted to kill my enemy, and then I killed my friend who was standing next to the enemy. So the Chachamim hold am chayiv misa. But V'arav loy v'kom alav means like this. There are 10 people standing in a row at the end of the block. I know that 9 of them are Jewish and 1 is a Nochri, but I can't tell. If I walk next to them, I'll be able to see. I'll recognize everybody. I'll know who's who. But I'm standing a block away, or a few blocks away. I can't identify. The odds are not, and I say I'm going to shoot the one all the way to the right. 10 people, I'm going to shoot the one to the right. So the witnesses warn me, they give me Hasra, don't shoot, the odds are 9 to 1 that you're going to kill a Yisra. So the din is you have to have Hasra's Vadai. Hasra's Sofik, we learned the other day, is a Machlokes Hatanoim. Hasra's Sofik, and the Rambam Paskins, Hasra's Sofik, the Rambam sounds like it Paskins, Hasra's Sofik is no good by Misa, for sure. By Malkitz, it's questionable. That's what we said, the Nadi Yehuda's son-in-law, has printed in the end of the whole Nadi Behuda, and the end of one of the two volumes of Nadi Behuda, they have a Dvar Torah by the son-in-law. He thinks the Rambam distinguishes between Malkus and Misa. But by Misa, for sure, the Rambam says that you need Hasra's Vadai. So what if you have a Hasra's Vadai based on a Roiv? The Roiv is that I'm killing Yisrael. So Roiv should be good. That should be Hasra's Vadai. So the Gemara says, but if the 10 people are standing a block away, if I would walk down the block, I'd be able to identify who's who. But I'm standing over here, so I can't identify from such a distance. I can't tell who's who. So that's called kol kavua kemachza amachza dami, and it's considered as if it's 50-50. You don't say the odds are 9-1. He said, I want to kill the one who's all the way standing at the right. You don't say the odds are 9-1 that he's going to kill the Israel. Since everybody's standing still, if they'll be walking, then it's not kavua. But if all the 10 people are standing still, the miut is standing still, the one nochri is standing still, they're all standing still. So kol kavua kemachza amachza dami. How do you understand this din? Does this make sense? Is this logical at all? Problematic. I was told that the Rosh Yeshiva Malei Adumim, what's his name? Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, has a doctorate in mathematics, and his doctoral dissertation was to make sense out of this. He gave some kind of a mathematical explanation. I don't know. I learned here day three times about Rav Soloveitchik, and every time we got to this Siman Kuf Yud, the end of the first Chelek Yeridei, when they talk about Kol Kavua, every time he tried to give a definition, not to try to give a logical explanation, to give a definition. We couldn't figure out a good definition of Kavua. It's problematic what it is. So again, you have a pasuk, Arav Loi Bekom Alav, Achi Iskadin Loi. So Rav Shimon says, Reb Shimon and the Raman Paschal is like Reb Shimon. Shimon says the Pasuk teaches of the Aura of Love, become a love, Achi is Kaban Loy, then is Kaban the Haragazeh, the Haragazeh is not Chayib Nisa. The Raman Paschal is like Reb Shimon. Nigmari asks here in Sanhedrin, according to the Chachamim who hold Niskaban the Haragazeh, the Haragazeh is Chayib Nisa, so why does it say the Aura of Love, become a love? What's the Mashmah? So the Gemara says, it teaches you the din of Kol Kavua, Kamachza, Machza, Domi. If the odds, even though the odds are 9-1, then I'm killing Israel. I say, I want to shoot the one at the end. And from the distance that I am at, I can't identify who's who. So that's Kavua, and it's considered Machza Machza. So the Raman Paskins, the din of Kavua also. So the Ran, the Rishonim there on San Ernest, if the Raman Paskins like Reb Shimon, that Niskam Laragazeb Haragazeb Spata, so what's the mucker for the din of Kol Kavua? So the Ran answers, they're both drashas shkula hem v'yavoyishneim. Sometimes the Rishonim have it like that. You learn two totally different, unrelated drashas from the same word in the pasuk. You learn advar of love become a love. This kavan lahar gazev lahar gazev is pater, even though they're both Yisraelim. You also learn out kol kavua kamachza amachza dami. So Tosfos has a chiddush over here. What if Tosfos has a chiddush and it's quoted in the Yerbedeya. On Tzadikim and Aleph. So Tosfos has a chiddush. What if I'm watching the way a person, yeah, the 10 stores are all near each other. The 9 stores sell basan shchuta and the 1 store sells basan aveil. So I'm not the only one in the city who has non-Jewish workers working for me. And I sometimes buy kosher meat for my family. I sometimes buy neveila meat for the nochrim. Much less expensive, and I have separate pots to cook for the nochrim. There are other people in the city also have religious people that buy sometimes kosher meat, sometimes non-kosher meat. So I'm watching the way someone went to one of the stores. I'm not paying attention. It's not my business, not my geschäft. I'm watching the way someone went to one of the stores, butcher shop. He walks in and comes out, and the bags are all the same, and the way they cut the meat is all the same. You can't tell by looking at the bag, and nobody keeps records. The stores don't keep records. Nobody remembers. So I'm watching the way someone bought in one of the stores, and then he goes out of the store, and then he has a driver's license from Delaware, and he drives off. And then after he drives off, I see that he left the meat here in the street. So I pick up the meat, and then I start to wonder, hey, did he buy kosher meat or did he buy non-kosher meat? I have no way to contact him. I don't know what his name is. I don't know what his phone number is. I don't know how to get in touch with him, but I was watching when he bought in this store, but I wasn't paying attention. So the suffix was not like the makamata rubis, just like if I bought the meat myself. And then afterwards, I'm a stupid that I buy kosher meat today and non-kosher meat. So the suffix is not on the meat, the suffix is on the store. The latest suffix goes back to the store. So even if Pirish Lefanenu, if someone else bought the meat in my presence, I was watching when he bought the meat, and then I wasn't paying attention. Afterwards, I start to wonder, did he buy from the kosher store or the non-kosher store? that'll also be kavua deraisa. Also be kavua deraisa. Yeah. There's a din of kavua derabanan. That's a gemara in Perikata Arubis. Perikata Arubis, I remember once the boys and broyers were learning Yerideya. So the Shach quotes are Taisus and Perikata Arubis. So the boy didn't know where Perikata, which Masichta is it? It doesn't say, it just says Perikata Arubis, tells you the daf. It doesn't say which Masichta. So if you look on the back of the Mishnayos, they have the names of all the prokem alphabetically arranged. Because when somebody has Yartzai, so many have the meaning that you learn prokem and Mishnayos that begin with the person's name. That's Rav Soloveitchik's father's name was Moshe Ben Chaim Halevi. So when he had Yartzeit for his father, so he would try to learn so many prokem Mishnayos that begin with a mem and a shin and a hey and a base and a nun, Moshe Ben Chaim Halevi. Yeah. He used to learn all day long. He used to fast when he had Yartzeit. So he would daven for Anomid, and then all the boys would go to eat breakfast. He would say they should come back 9 o'clock. He's going to give a shiur mishnayos. So he didn't eat breakfast. So he would start learning 9 o'clock, and it's Gimel Shvat, and the shki is around 4:30 or something like that. He would be learning from 9 o'clock till 4:30. He wouldn't take a pause in the middle. It was final time. It was usually final time. So Dr. Belkin would come in for half an hour and leave, and Dean Bacon would come in. Dean Bacon's father-in-law used to be the dean of the men's college. So he would come in for half an hour and leave, and professors would come in, and students, but the students had finals, so the students would sit to learn Mishnayos, go take a final, they would come back. He would be learning, he wouldn't go to the bathroom, he wouldn't eat, he would just sit there from 9 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. Then I had to tell him, you better daven mincha quickly, it's going to be the shkia. You're soon going to miss the shkia. This would happen every so often. He was learning Mishnayos all day long. He never finished the whole name, Moshe Ben Chaim. So the end of the Mishnayos, the first volume of Mishnayos on Brachos, so they give a list of all of the prokem alphabetically. So they looked up Perek HaTarubis. They couldn't find the not on the hay and not on the tuf, because that's the name of the Perek, but the Perek begins with the word Kal HaZvachim Shenisarvu. It starts with a chaf. It doesn't start with a hay or with a tuf. The Rishon called the Perek HaTarubis. So in Perek HaTarubis, the Mishnah says, if you have a korban, have a whole bunch of carbonas. That's why you have 100 carbonas, and 99 are kosher, and by mistake, one of the 100 carbonas is pasul. How is it pasul? It's a estan zayna, it's a mechir kelev. It looks exactly the same as the others. You can't tell the difference between them, but it has a historical background. It was an estan zayna mechir kelev, so it's pasul lahakrava. So even though it's one animal that got mixed up with another 99 animals, that's the din that minatoritz takabotel, but when they're abonim, we say balechaim chashivi v'loy b'teide. They're all puzzle. So the Gemara says, all right, they're all puzzle, because balechaim are not botel. You can't be makir of any of them. You don't say bitl b'roiv. You can't say bitl b'roiv. Balechaim chashiv. You can't say bitl b'roiv. But why can't you say the odds are 99 to 1 that any one animal they'll pick out will be kosher lahakrava, go azlina basaruba, not bitl berub, say azlina basaruba. So Gemara says, no, that's kavua midirabbanan. Since all the animals are standing still, all 100 animals are standing still, so the miut is kavua bimkomo, it's standing still. So you can't say, it's kemachza machza dami, and it's considered like a sofik. Minatar, it's really bottle. So this is a kavua midirabbanan. This is a kavua midirabbanan. So then the Gemara says, all right, nichbishina denanaydi, let's get people to have all 100 animals run, and then when they'll be walking around, when they'll be roaming around, chase them, have them all start running, and then when they'll be walking around, the miut will not be kavua bimkama. It won't have the chashivas of standing still, so then you won't be able to say kol kavua. So why don't you say nichbishina denanaydi, let's push to all 100 animals, they should be walking, and then we'll take one of them, and will be makarit as a korban. So the Gemara says, it's gzera shem meyikach min ha-kavua. You make gzera de rabbanon that you don't allow that. So that's a big machlokes, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. The Rabbeinu Tam Shita is quoted in Sanhedrin, daf ayin tes amid beis, goes over to pei amid aleph. When I first entered Rav Soloveitchik's class, the first 2 years he learned Sanhedrin. So he covered the whole Sanhedrin, except for the Agadat and Perek Chelek that he never did. So that was the second year where we learned from the beginning to the end. So the second year we learned that Tosfos. So he gave a whole shiur on this, on the topic of Kavua, the Rabbanu, some of it appears here. So the Tosfos quotes a machlekes, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, and the Mordechai on our daf, and Perek Gid Anasha, and Mordechai quotes on daf Tzadikei. The Rabbeinu Tam holds, that's how it says in Tosfos, in Sanhedrin, and that's the Mordechai here. Rabbeinu Tam holds that this Gzeres Yikach Mina Kavua was only instituted by Kotshim, a Chumra by Karbonis. We're afraid, maybe they'll forget to chase him and to have him move. Maybe they'll take the animal when they're all standing still, and then it'll be kavua. And the Reed disagrees. He says no, that this din of kavua, gzeresh amiyikach mina kavua, doesn't only apply to kotshim. And Tosfos writes the loshin. You have four lines from the bottom of the big Tosfos on the tzadikei amud aleph, on the bottom of amud aleph, the bottom Tosfos hachinami. So four lines before the end, they write. They don't agree with the Rabbeinu Tam. That's the Ri. The Ri, the nephew of the Rabbeinu Tam. He often follows the Rabbeinu Tam, and a lot of times he disagrees. So this is the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam. So I'd like to discuss this a little bit further. Maybe we'll continue on Sunday around 12 o'clock. Here the Tosfos asks, how can you ever have here? Take a look at the Tosfos, Sveika Osir. So Tosfos said, there's a din if you have a tarubas of Yavish B'Yavish, let's say by mistake. I bought a tray for salami for the Goyisha workers today, and I bought two kosher salamis for my family. And then we took off all the labels, and the salamis look exactly the same. They taste exactly the same. But one of them is Nevela, and the other two are kosher. So if they really took off all the labels, he can't tell which is which. So that's called the tarubas of yavish b'yavish. And then a Torah, the din is that chad betray is bottle. So they say it's the kasha, but the salamis are not walking anywhere. They're standing still. So they're standing still. So it's called kavua, kamachza machza dummy. So how can you say that the tray for salami is bottle chad betray, kol kavua, kamachza machza dummy? It's standing still, so it should be kol kavua. So Tosfos says, no, it's not kol kavua because the yisr is not nika bim koima. The same Tosfos appears in Nozir also. Exact same Tosfos. But here you don't need the Tosfos in Nozir. Here it's over here. So that's what we'll have to discuss. The two ways to understand Tosfos' answer. It'll happen afkamina, this Shaila the Rabbeinu Tam in the Ri. Okay, tomorrow morning, Bli Neder, I'll try to learn a little bit on Parsha Shlach about 10:30. And on Sunday, we'll continue Bli Neder about 12 o'clock. Everyone should be well.